Hey, it's me, boy. Eli.
It's me, Joe.
Hey, it's Daniel.
And we're here for our what essentially is going to be our last episode of the year, as we tend to do. Our last episode is always going to be our reactions to the Game Awards and the results. So we didn't go through all the categories, like a lot of the categories last time, mostly because there was another kind of conversation we had to have, which was about the DLC and the inclusion of multiverses again. And the good news is we didn't have too much to worry about because none of those two won.
Yeah, a whole lot of controversy worth nothing, I guess, right?
I mean, it was pretty. I think even though it was kind of weird they were there. I mean, we just know Tekken was going to win regardless.
So one of the games that we talked about was for our thoughts on who would win would have been the best fighting game, which I'm a little upset that it wasn't like a main stage thing. I feel like I went down this time. Like it was like in the pre-show.
Yeah, I get that, but at the same time, it feels like that happens a lot with the Game Awards set.
I mean, it doesn't hit me that bad because oh my God, Harada, he was there to accept the award, so even though it wasn't actually part of the actual show itself, he still got to come up and say a small speech and pick up the award himself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was very happy when we heard that Virtual Fighter's back.
Oh no, he is.
Like, I haven't seen the tweets, but I'm pretty sure he's tweeting up a storm.
No, he's very excited.
Oh my
And he even
God.
said that he'll put in a virtual fighter as a guest character in Tekken the moment they come back. And I guess we're gonna have to wait and see when who's gonna be in it.
I didn't even notice that was Akira. I think, well, like that one character is supposed to be Akira. And I'm like, that doesn't look like Akira. But he went through like a whole makeover.
Like, dude, you gotta understand that the last Virtual Fighter 5 came out like in 2008, I think.
Yeah.
So it's been quite some time. I mean, he's not gonna look the same as before.
Yeah, sure. That's true. But anyway, I feel like I went through a whole redesign. But anyways, so we'll be talking about some of the announcements. Not all the announcements, but that basically might take the whole episode. But we will be going over right now some of the categories that we went through in the last episode and the winners of those categories. So the first one is going to be the best fighting of the year, which was what games do
Best fighting games of the year was Tekken 8, yeah, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, Multiversus, Granblue Fantasy Versus Rising, and I believe Marvel vs. Capcom
Fighting Collection, yeah.
Fighting Collection, yeah.
And the winner for that one was Tekken A, which is something that we all kind of like felt was the right one to go with. Which only makes sense.
Yeah, I think I voiced my support for Granblue, but that's pretty obvious. But at the same time, I think I remember saying that, yeah, Tekken probably does deserve the win because it is Tekken, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
no, you gotta remember this is a collective of people who aren't in the know, you
I mean,
know?
it's probably bigger than Street Fighter at this point, just considering like how much attention they got back from Tekken 7 with its guest characters, like with Noctis or Geese Howard or even Akuma.
You forget the most random guest character they had in Tekken 7.
Wait, who am I missing?
Negan.
Oh my God, I forgot about him. Yeah.
Yeah, no, everyone was like, no. But I was like, what the? Like, what?
Yeah, that was
Who?
such a strange choice. Like, we even got people from Mortal Kombat saying, like, he should be in our game. Why is he over there attacking?
Like, no, yeah, no. Like,
Yeah.
why isn't he MK1? That will make the game so much better. No, but yeah, so that's kind of the thing about it had to be Tekken. And the only two obvious answers was going to be either Granblue or Tekken. The other ones, I mean, I agree more with Marvel's Capcom Fighting Collection than I do with Multiverses, which we said it before in our past episode, is that it came back in not a great way.
Yeah, no. I think we mentioned it before, like it just came back, the gameplay was even more slow and had like its issues
Somehow,
online as well. Yeah.
that happened. And then there's the what was the other one?
Dragon Ball.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. That one fell off hard because once you figured out everything, it was kind of good. It was. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, good. It's good. It's a good game, but it's like it's almost like, oh, okay, we're kind of done here. Did you ever hear those stories about how they try to, do tournaments with Sparking Zero and it just fell?
I
Like
heard
it was.
about something like that. I think a guy was using a character, and then I think the TL came out and said, "Hey, I'm gonna need you to start playing the game right, and be serious about this." I was like, "I am being serious." And then I think both competitors were disqualified because they didn't like the playstyle they were doing.
I mean, it's a tournament. Like, you should establish the rules, I guess. If it's not illegal to do what they were doing, which I feel like it wasn't.
I think what they're doing is that they're like running away a lot, which is like that's Budokai.
That's, I mean, it's a,
That
yeah, it's a
I
sound
mean,
strategy,
even if
right?
you go to Xenoverse, like you'll be seeing that a lot online as well.
Yeah, no, it's this is never meant to be like a competitive, well, I mean, you can make anything competitive if you really think about it. Yes, but like the way that one's structured, it's more to have fun, just do
Yeah,
stupid
like
shit.
this is not to like put down open arena games, because like
No,
I know
it's not.
I'm not, because I know I'm not big about him, but I love Dragon Ball Sparking Zero and even Budokai Tenkaichi in the past, but I feel like the competitive scene, it's just so strict compared to over here at the fighting game side as well, because well, not I worded it wrong, but basically I feel like the open arena fighters, saying they're a bit more strict, because I remember seeing that there was a tournament for Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm. And out of curiosity, I see like, okay, what's the rules here? Like no doubles or what? And then I look into it, and there's like so many different rules. Like, okay, if you're playing as this character, you can't do this technique, or you're not supposed to do that, or you can't do
Oh,
this. It's like,
damn.
this is very strict. Like, so any cool techniques people like to use online or whatever, just as it gives them the advantage, you can't use them. I was like, I mean, but that's the point of a fighting game.
Yeah, it's like telling me I can't use Hadoukens as
Like exactly, like if your
it's
character is a
weird.
zoner, you're going to expect to use that character as a zoner.
I think it's because like the thing about like those kind of games is like they're very much not meant to follow through with archetypes. Right, like with fighting games, you have zoners, you have grapplers, your shotos, so on and so forth. A good mix of both sometimes, right? Like there's still some level, even if it's like a broken game, like say DNF Duel, you still kind of like have you still have some level of like chance, I guess is the right word to go with it. Like it's not random. It's not 100% random.
You have skill.
Yeah, the skill.
Yeah, I mean, if anything can be abused if you know how to do it enough. Like, I started Merida one Injustice tournament. Like, I think it was a CEO. This guy was using Batman and just kept spamming battering after battering after battering. Even like the audience were getting sick of seeing that. But like,
Yeah.
it's no rules against that, because it's a viable option. Like, is
It
it
is.
tedious and boring to watch? Yeah, but it works.
True. If anything, this just reminds me of just how Smash handles competitive stuff, because obviously, they have items and stuff, so they just turn all that stuff off,
Yeah, like
which
at least with Smash, it's much more simpler. Like I
yeah,
think
obviously.
rules,
You can break it down to like a 2D fighter almost.
because I think the standard rules, like, was it 3 stock in 5 minutes, or was it 5 stock in 7
I know
minutes?
Melee has it 4 stocks at like 7 minutes, I think. I think Ultimate does 3 stocks, I believe.
Yeah,
But yeah, it's just, like
it's just
they.
more. Yeah, it's just more simpler. Like.
Yeah.
Again, like, yeah, okay, so you can go on that stage, maybe not that stage, and these are the rules. It's much more simpler, and of course, items are off, so not that much to understand. But then again, when I saw that Naruto rule list, I was like, my God, that's just too many to keep track of.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like, what if I'm a
Absolutely.
casual? Like, I'm not gonna know, like, these are the things I can't do.
Yeah. All right. So the winner with that one was Tekken 8, which yeah, I know it had to. That game was really well received when it came out. Like I had fun with it. I don't even play Tekken anymore, but I still have fun with it.
No, like it's the only time I can have fun playing with my non-fighting game fans, because every time I go there, you want to play Street Fighter, you want to play KI, you want to play Mortal Kombat. No, you know some combos, dude. No, and then we pull out Dragon Ball, Sparking Zero. We can all have fun.
Same thing with Tekken 2. I feel like people just Tekken's probably the more casual friendly, especially now with social
Like,
media
I
there.
feel like it's, I mean, sort of, but I would say it's more spectator f friendly, because that's what makes Tekken amazing, because not only people, who's actually playing it can have fun with it, even outside can, watch it and have fun with, seeing it's like, oh my God, he's doing this, he's doing that. And I think that was the main appeal, because you don't really see that much spectators that are having fun watching it compared to like MK or Street Fighter.
That's true. That is true. All right. So, what's the next category?
I believe we talked about best narrative,
Yes, and
right?
yes. Who was the
So nominees for that were for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Metaphor: ReFantazio, Setsuna Saga: Hellblade 2, and Silent Hill 2.
And the winner of that one was Metaphor: ReFantazio, and I was very happy with that.
No, I'm perfectly happy with that. I wanted to give it to Like a Dragon, because they did a great job with this one, and I feel like all the ways they told the narrative in that game was amazing. But like But Metaphor was the winner, which I'm totally okay with. I mean, it's still from Sega, even though
Yeah.
it's under Atlus, but they own Atlus. But
Sega had a good year this year because the Metaphor won like three, won best narrative, best RPG, and
best direction,
best
best
direction, art
art.
direction, art direction,
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Which I'm like, yeah, no, you got to give it to that to like any of the Atlus crew, because the Atlus crew likes their style.
Not. Yeah, like they know how to do their thing.
Yeah, no, like if it wasn't gonna be for Metaphor, it would have been for Persona 3 Reloaded. Because I still look at those memes, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean they just know how to do everything right, like the game direction, like they know how to tell a good story, and plus like the music, they always kill it with the music.
Oh no, yeah. But I mean, for me, with because I'm currently playing Metaphor, and it's a lot of, I mean, there's some things that I'm like kind of like already piecing together because that's how my mind works. You know, I'm already like putting things together. I'm like, oh, this is what this is. Okay, this is going this way. Okay, this could go this way or this way or this way. But like, I really do like how the story itself is very, I would say, of the time. I wouldn't, but not in a bad way. But it's more like, oh, this is saying stuff. This is like saying something, like not trying to like sugarcoat it or anything, but it's just like, listen, it's if you want to have like a very peaceful word, it's gonna be difficult because there's a lot of things to get to apply to it. If you play the game, you kind of know what I mean,
Yeah.
but it's really good. It's a really good story. There's and I'll say, because you haven't played it yet, right, Daniel?
No,
Oh no, you
I
haven't
actually
played it.
no, I have. I have. I played it recently right now. I won't say, but I'm more like the first part of this specific thing I'm supposed to do. Being
Are you on the
very
second town? Let me ask you that.
yeah. I'm in the
Okay.
second time right now. Yeah, I'm just trying to
Okay.
be vague in case, like not to spoil anything to
I
the
don't know.
viewers.
But
Yeah.
like, I'm saying this right now. I don't know if you finished that second town storyline yet.
Not yet. Indiana Jones kind of popped out, so I kind of put that on break. But I'll play it as it's
That's
such like a
fair.
shorter game
That is
compare.
fair, which is apparently a really good game.
It is. I highly recommend it.
Damn. But no, but once you get to that second, when we finish up that second town storyline, you're gonna come back to me and be like, yo, Eli, what the fuck? I'm like, yeah, no, this is intense.
Yeah.
This is intense. Do you have anything to say about it?
I mean, I haven't played any of the games that were listed in the category, but I mean, obviously heard a lot of good things about Metaphor. Like, it's clearly a well-liked game. It's always good to see Atlus, branching out with new IPs and having them succeed and stuff, right? So, props to Atlus and the whole team, right? Like, I mean, heck, all these games I think would have all solid narratives. So, it's a good testament to see Metaphor succeed like that, right?
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. All right. Let's get to the game of the year.
Yeah, so Game of the Year nominees were Astro Bot, Balotro,
Balatro.
Black Myth: Wukong, Elden Ring: Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and then Metaphor: Phantasio.
Not gonna lie, for me, I was a little surprised by this. I was a little shocked, but then with reasoning coming in, I was like, no, that makes sense. It was the winner for that one was Astrobot.
Yeah, like it took me by surprise as well because I seen it as a uphill battle between Black Myth: Wukong and Metaphor, and then seeing Astro Ball come out of nowhere, winning after award, and getting Game of the Year. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's it, I, it what really turned me around was, and I don't know if this is the same for you, Joe, was the speech the creator did about like how often like you don't see platformers nowadays.
Yeah, no, yeah, because most of the time, whenever you do see one, it's usually by Nintendo. You don't see anyone else doing it anymore, unless
No.
it's like an indie dev.
No, like the last one we've had franchise wise, I think it was like maybe like 10, 20 years ago. With like something like Banjo or Crash Bandicoot, Spyro.
I mean, yeah, we had like a resurgence with Crash and Spyro, but there were remakes of the original trilogy games
Yeah.
they were from. I think the only other platformer maybe is probably Sonic, because
Yeah, I can give it that.
yeah,
But it's
because
always been like Mario and stuff.
I'm just trying to remember, because yeah, because there's Mario, there's Kirby, like there's Starfy if you want to get into the deep cuts.
Yeah, no. It's like it's seeing it making their like it felt weird, but it felt right at the same time.
Yeah,
Especially considering like Astrobot was kind of like a love letter to PlayStation.
no, it is like at first I didn't think it would win Family Game of the Year because it's so focused on a history that I feel like only like the older audience would understand. Like, yeah, you got your Lara Croft, you got Chris and Jill from the first Resident Evil, and then all the other games that the younger players will probably wouldn't have recognized unless their relative friend or parents were telling them, yeah, these were the kind of games I were playing back in your age. So, but no, it won best family game. So like that surprised me, but like it's cool because it's a fun platformer. And then I'm trying to remember what was the other one that they won for as well. They won like four awards last night.
Was it music? I think it was music.
No, music, I believe.
No, that was Rebirth, Final Fantasy.
Right. Can I just say I was a little disappointed it didn't go with the monk chant for Red Metaphor during the game? They went with
I was
the other battle theme, which is good, but I'm like, I wanted the monk to show up.
No, yeah, I wanted that to happen too. Like, I was expecting that monk to be like up there in the stage, doing his chants and everything.
No, yeah. All right, so that was the winners of what we the categories that we talked about. You can find the rest on their website. On those who won and who won, congratulations, and those who are nominated, congratulations as well. But now we got to talk about the reveals because those reveals were pretty good. All right, we got to talk about Virtual Fighter because that one was crazy to me. I was like, because they announced what was it what's the new version of Virtual Fighter 5? Ultimate
Yeah, so
Showdown.
this is the one on Steam. It's called Virtual Fighter 5 Revo. So
That's
this,
the one. That's the one,
yeah, so
yeah.
this is the one that's made specifically for Steam. I don't think they announced it for any other systems at this time, or I don't know what's going on with that. But it's been focusing as a Steam release. And what's the more important thing about it is that it has rollback netcode.
Yes.
And I believe we discussed this before on the podcast that the PS4 a re-release or remake, it did not. It had this weird system where two users were connected to some server somewhere so that to minimize the delay between each other or something like that.
Yeah, I think I remember that. It was a very interesting design. It felt like one of those like we want to revel do our own like net code solution and like maybe monetize it, but then it was just like eh.
Never do that. Just never
Like,
don't do that.
it somewhat is better than the usual delay-based netcode, but you still notice it's not as consistent as it should be compared to a rollback netcode. So, like, seeing rollback netcode in Virtual Fighter 5 is going to be great. Actually, they're having a beta for that right now on Steam, and luckily my PC can run it, so I can't wait to try it out, see how it goes.
Yeah, we're back. We're back with Virtual Fighter. But the thing about it is that Harada is known to be a big is also a big Virtual Fighter fan. And
No, like,
he
yeah, like he always
so
like
he's happy about this.
yeah, like even though he does view Virtual Fighter as a rival game, he still has high appreciation for it because he acknowledges that Tekken would not even be a thing right now if it wasn't for Virtual Fighter.
Isn't like one of the Virtual Fighters in the Smithsonian? I remember hearing about that.
Like one of the games?
Yeah.
I maybe it might be
It was
either
like,
me.
because you gotta remember, like, I think it was Virtual Fighter 1. Like, it was almost groundbreaking for light level technology for, like, just in general for a video game, even so.
It might have been one or two, but maybe one, yeah, because it was like one of the first 3D arcade games at the time, I think.
Oh, yeah, I know. Apparently, it was in an episode of X-Files, too.
No, was it now?
Yeah, I heard about that. That was crazy. But no, yeah, a new Virtual Fighter 6, because we're in the Sega Revolution now. Because they're coming out with some heavy stuff right now. I mean, because along with the new Virtual Fighter with like a new art design and everything, we're also getting like a new game from the guys who make the Yakuza series, which is something that Diana knows more about than I do.
Yeah, so when they were remaking Virtual Fighter 5 for PS4, it was using the Dragon Engine that was normally used for the Yakuza games. So yeah, everything's got all updated, graphics and texture wise, using that engine. The only thing missing was the rollback netcode, which is going to be in the Steam release. And even though like it's being handled by the devs behind the Yakuza franchise, it's also you're also getting like the same original developers from the previous games as well to work on it as to to keep it all like the way how it usually is, from the old team.
And speaking of more fighting game news, technically, Clive I don't recall his last name.
Oh, Clive
From
Rossfield.
Rossfield from Final Fantasy 16 is in Tekken 8. And I say this knowing that the tears of the Tifa fans are crying as we speak.
Look, I'm a Tifa fan. I understand, but I'm a Final Fantasy fan, and Final Fantasy 16 kind of plays like Devil May Cry with some RPG elements to it. So yeah, I'm gonna be excited for Clive Rossfield to be in Tekken.
No, get me wrong. It's just like I'm happy for him. I'm happy for all those. But I'm also with the team, with the other group of people who are like, can we have Soul Calibur back, please?
Yeah,
That's him right here.
I won't lie, just seeing that, it's just like, man, I wish for a Soul Calibur game one of these days, right? Please. I mean, clearly they know how to still do it. And it's just a little weird to have both Clive and then Noctis in the last game, like both characters that used weapons being like, shouldn't these guys be in in Soul Calibur? Don't get me wrong,
I mean,
Geralt and 2B were great in Soul Calibur 6. I'm just saying, like,
may I put
I
in an
don't
argument to those claims? Yoshimitsu.
he's got to the
Yeah, fair enough, but still,
he's also but he's also still in Soul Calibur, so
I mean,
yeah.
and then Negan, he has his bad Lucille.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
What's his name? I kind of call him Lloyd, but it's not his name, is not Lloyd. It's the kung
Leroy?
fu guy. Huh?
Are you talking about Leroy?
Leroy, yeah. Yeah, he has a cane, but he doesn't.
You'll use it once per match, though.
That
Yeah.
was in Tekken 7. Does he still use it for Tekken 8?
I don't know if I don't know
Don't
if they changed it
recall.
or something.
I've not touched Tekken 8 in a long time.
Like, I touched it for a little bit, but I don't think I came across a Leroy player during that time.
I came across a couple, but I don't recall. I was
Yeah,
more of a
but
Steed player.
you could tell, like, they've been experimenting with the idea of projectiles and weapons for a while, since development of Tekken Cross Street Fighter, because to put in Street Fighter and Tekken, yeah, to put in like the Hadoukens and everything, yeah, and then again with weapons, they've been slowly like added out more and more. Like I think, yeah, well first with Noctis and Dan Negan, and now we have a brand new original character in Tekken 8. I forgot what his name was, but it's a French spy dude.
Oh
Oh, Victor.
yeah, I know what he's talking about. Victor Chevalier,
Yeah.
because his last name is like a was it is it knight? Is it supposed to be like a knight in French? I don't know, man. I don't speak French. I just ugh. But no, aside from that, we also had the reveal of like a new game from the guys who made Last Guardian and Shadow of Colossus. I don't know what it's called, but it looks pretty cool.
Actually, it doesn't have a name currently. If you rewatch the trailer and watch like those credits, the movie style credits at the very end of that trailer, all we know is that it's just under the name Project Robot, and that's all we know for now. Yeah,
It does look like a fun game, though.
I mean, if you never played Shadow of the Colossus or Ico, I recommend to check them out. Like, I don't think you played those games before, have you, Eli?
No.
Yeah, I recommend checking out Shadow of the Colossus. They made a PS4 remake, and you can play it on your PS5 whenever you got the time, and it is a great
Nice.
experience to play.
Nice. I'm trying to think of what other game that was announced. There's two that have come to mind, but I'm wanna well, I didn't want to mention one of them. We got a new Onimusha game coming out. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
pretty cool.
and it looks like it's getting a different play style too, because originally, if you played those games before, Onimusha, it was more like Resident Evil but samurais. Like, not even kidding. Like it's supposed to be like that. Like, yeah, like it's weird demons
So
and
this is the
Japanese.
second time that Capcom tried to utilize Resident Evil, but this kind of because I'm thinking of
Yeah,
Devil May Cry.
because like yeah. So what do we make a horror game, but instead of zombies, we put in dinosaurs.
Oh, Dino Crisis! Oh my God, Dino Crisis! I forgot
Yeah,
about that
like
game.
Capcom. I don't know who. I doubt any one of them is gonna be listening to this. But if you work at Capcom, you have to make them make another Dino Crisis or at least a remake.
We're not counting Exo Primal, by the way.
No,
Yeah, that's
Exo Primal, no, like that tease in the trailer, that was not Regina.
No, yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, so like Unimusha is getting a different style. It might be going towards like maybe a Soulsborne kind of gameplay to it this time.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm glad it's back. And then another Capcom announcement. It was okay, so honestly, I was thinking like, okay, so Jeff Keighley, he's getting teary in his eyes, so he's probably over exaggerating about it. And then they revealed it. Okami is back. And I
Hell yeah.
it's like, okay, like yeah, Jeff has like was right about like, you know, being like emotional about it, because I was too. Because
Dude, I was so happy.
dude,
I was wondering,
Okami.
like, when I first started playing, Japan. So I was like, oh, it's probably like Ghost of Tsushima or something. And then I see the dog running. I'm like, wait, what is this? And then from that pan shot, you see, I'm like, oh my God, it's Okami.
Yeah.
And therefore, the meme of her name is Okami came to mind.
Yeah, like dude, like all the water, like brush, you know, strokes and everything that was going on throughout the whole trailer, and then suddenly we saw Ami come out, and then so Ami is short for Amaterasu, but it made me so happy. But what made me even happier is that Hideki Kamiya
He's
came back
back.
to be the director.
Yeah, he's back. Damn it, Platinum Works. What did you do?
I mean, they did Babylon's Fall. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. No, but it's good to hear that Kamiya's back. He's working. He's got his own studio too, so they're kind of doing a collaboration,
And that's
which
another
is.
thing about the studio too. He brought back Clover again. And if you guys don't know why it's so special, they're the guys behind, you know, these amazing games like Beautiful Joe or even God Hand.
Yep, so that's kind of the thing that I've seen everyone talking about. That if we can get, if we got Okami back, could we get Beautiful Joe back?
Like, I could definitely see Beautiful Joe coming back, you know, since Kamiya's back. I wonder if they can get Mikami to come back, because God knows we need another God Hand.
Oh yeah, we definitely do. And really, we any kind of continuation of like any old game. Now, can we get some old school fighting games back though? Can we get Rival Schools? Can we get? Dark Star. I'm looking down the pipe dream, and I know it's not gonna happen, but I'm looking down.
I mean, look, it's okay to have like a, you know, go through that kind of thing, man. I mean, I want them to bring back JoJo's Bizarre Adventure again, but with Bandai Namco being Bandai Namco, it's not gonna happen for a long while.
Yeah, that's looking a little rough with the license there.
Oh yeah. I gotta suck it up and deal with All Star Battle R, which I mean it's kind of
It's
fun, but
fine, but you know, it's not.
it's not Capcom with its insane stuff.
No. What other reveals were there? Because those are really the only ones I can think of that really like caught my attention.
I'm trying to remember, like, this is the indie game. I know, like, people like were talking about it a lot. You know, when it first came out with the original Slay the Spire 2.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Like,
Ninja Gaiden! I forgot about Ninja Gaiden.
oh, that's right. I can't believe it. Yeah, like, the moment I saw Hayabusa come up on screen, it's like, oh my God, there's another Ninja Gaiden coming in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And because the last few games, I mean, it got better with the Wii U re-release. But the other one that wasn't, it just wasn't as good. It was
Yeah.
Yaiba.
I think I recall that one, yeah.
Like Ninja Gaiden Z Yaiba. I heard it looked kind of cool, because I think Inafune had a hand in it. I might be wrong, but unfortunately it wasn't as good, so you know it didn't do well.
Well, I think that's about all the announcements that I can think of. I know there's that Neil Druckmann game, but I have nothing much to say because it just looks cool, I guess.
Yeah, the new Naughty Dog game, Intergalactic, I think it's called.
I mean, it looks cool. I would like to know more. All I got from it is like, okay, there might be some combat with a cool laser sword, but that's about it.
I know they like more stuff came out by the time, like, but I'm just like, why didn't you say that during the trailer? God damn it. Like
Yeah.
it's like heavily inspired by like Bebop and Akira, which I'm like, sure, those are like classic anime sci-fi stuff, so
Yeah.
that's cool.
Oh, what about the I forgot to do his name. It's the crazy guy that, you know, that tells the Oscars to screw off.
That guy, yeah, he did announce a new game.
He announced a
That
new
one
game.
looks interesting.
That looks incredible, because like the whole part of the game is like these two characters, they're like some simulation world or something like that, and so they'll be like flipping flop from like a fantasy land to like a futuristic sci-fi kind of
Because they're
thing as
both
well.
writers and both specialize in their own specific genres,
Yeah.
which is really cool. I like that. That's a cool pro. You got to give it to that guy. He comes up with some cool ideas.
Like he's one of the few people that shows that he's very passionate about the stuff he does,
Like
because
it's
he really.
they're like so avant-garde, but they're so interesting and fun.
That he won Game of the Year with It Takes Two for a reason. But yeah, like I just love the energy that he every time he pops up on the Game Awards, because like I said, you could just instantly tell he really cares and, you know, puts all of his efforts into the games that he makes.
Oh yeah, speaking of people who made the puts a lot of energy into what they did at the Game Awards. Those two Muppets whose names I keep forgetting, but I love them.
Oh God.
Waldorf and
Like
the old Muppets that always are heckling during the Muppet Show and stuff.
I
Yeah.
love those two.
Yeah. They're such good shit talkers.
No, they weren't holding back either. Like
Oh, they weren't.
no.
The one everyone loves was the Kojima one. It was like, oh, Jeff Keighley, I heard he's friends with Kojima. But
Yes,
does
but does he
Kojima
know
know
that he's
that?
friends with him?
Oh.
Like no chill at all, no chill. Say, hey Jeff, I thought like the whole a whole other place will be like packed because you always sell out. Oh.
Oh, gotta love those two.
Yeah, I will. To be fair, I will say he, given all the Muppet bits they've done for these past couple of years, it's probably the best one they've
Yeah,
done. Like, it's
that's
the one where it's
the one
like
I
it
like.
doesn't like drag on
No.
simply because it makes sense to
Yeah.
hold. But yeah, no. That was probably the best Muppets bit they've done like ever. I'm gonna be honest. So.
I mean, just keep bringing those two back because everyone loves those shit talking old men.
No, yeah. I mean, like, what were the previous guests? Like, I think it was Beaker and Dr. Honeydew, and then Animal. But I think it's just those two,
Wasn't
right?
that Roach guy? I
Three.
keep forgetting his name.
That he's not a roach, he's a prawn.
Is he prawn? I thought he was a roach.
No, he's a prawn.
Oh my
He's a
god, it's been a while
shrimp.
since I watched
And then
Muppet.
there was Gonzo, right? Gonzo was at least in one of these, right?
Was he?
I think so. I could be wrong.
The thing is, he's done it so much that you kind of forget, and mostly because, if I'm being honest, a lot of the Muppets kind of work together when they're together.
When there's just one Muppet and one human, it's just very odd. Especially sometimes it's just Jeff interacting with the Muppet.
I mean,
Yeah.
some
Unlike this,
cases
where
of,
like the
I mean, some
Muppets
cases,
are shit talking the audience, right?
you were saying
Yeah.
that? No, I was gonna say like, I mean, like doesn't not necessarily. I mean, just look at the Muppets Christmas Carol, like Michael Caine, he just treated it like a serious, like dramatic, moment throughout the entire movie, but all the Muppets are around.
You know what it is? It's Jeff has to be like, oh my God, it's the Muppets. But he's like, no, like he's just, it's the way he interacts with it. It's what makes it kind of like, it's okay.
Yeah.
But the two old guys, they're just like really good because they're like, you don't have to be near them, but they're just gonna be up there being like, this is dumb.
Yeah,
I had a Final Fantasy. This show ended. Oh.
like I have no idea if they gave him like free rein or not, because I feel like something if they probably should have went if Jeff Keighley told him, okay, you can joke about this, but you can't joke about that. Unless they're given a free rank, because I feel like there would have been like a lot more rules with whether like what they could talk about. But now they went on everything about the please wrap it up. It's like being friends with Kojima or like selling out and a bunch of other like Game Awards jokes.
You know why? Because like they're listening to some to the complaints and making fun of them.
Yeah, like no, like I remember like this was the meme for the longest time where like, oh, Jeff Keighley hypes up like the biggest game ever in the trailer, and it's just this, and it's like a scene of Sid the Science Kid, and then he actually acknowledged the meme and he posted it right before the show started.
Yep, I remember that. You said you met. I remember you talking about this one game made by the guys who made Sifu.
Yes, I think it was called Rematch, and this one really caught my attention because if you played a soccer game before, it's usually top down play most of the time, so. You could play by Mario Strikers or
Yeah.
FIFA, same kind of view of how you're playing the game. But what makes this one kind of unique, it's actually a third person soccer game. So
Ooh.
yeah, so you're behind the camera, behind a player, running around the field, and then not only that, but you're actually aiming where you want to shoot the ball at as well.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds
Yes,
like fun.
yeah, like we don't get a lot of unique actiony like sports games like that. At all, most of the time it's just simulator. So this looks like a fresh breath of air from here.
If they're gonna be there, it's either simulators or just a really funny game like was it NBA Jam?
Yeah, well, they sort of play it up a bit, right?
Like from downtown.
Yeah, boom shakalaka.
And when you're on fire, you're literally on fire.
Yeah.
What other game was there to announce?
I know they announced two. Well, I think the first one was more of a Borderlands 4 gameplay. Remember that?
Yeah, it's been a while since we had another Borderlands.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I
That wasn't just a
mean,
spinoff.
yeah, like I remember, like I'm back in high school, I was like, "Oh, this game is like the funniest game ever." And then I got older and played it again out of excitement for Borderlands 3. It's like, Okay, so it might not have age as well, but hopefully Borderlands 3 will be better.
It
It's
was
about the
not.
same.
Was
Like,
yeah.
not to say anything bad, because I played Borderlands 3, I still had fun with it, but I mean, I didn't like the twin protagonists. I thought they were annoying as hell.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and Witcher 4. That's hype.
I haven't played The Witcher. I heard great things about it, though.
I've only watched a bit of the show. I haven't really kept up.
Oh,
But I enjoyed it.
all I know is like the show is very different. I think.
So much that it pissed Henry Cavill off.
No, yeah, because like the show is actually doing its own thing where, yeah, like Henry Cavill, he was talking about like how it wasn't really being as faithful as it should be because, you know, because a lot of these actors, most of the time, they actually go into the source material to know more about it before actually, you know, starting to work. Like in this case, you know, Henry Cavill read the Witcher books because they were going for more for the books than the games, and then even with Dragon Ball Evolution, even though you know. The movie was awful, god awful. The
God.
actor, he went out of his way to not only just read the entirety of the Dragon Ball series, the mangas, but also even read the original Chinese, novel, Journey to the West.
Yeah, no, that him, like him and the guy playing who played Piccolo were like the most devastated ones because they were really trying to make something that was faithful, but like studio interference and stuff, which is kind of the funny thing and kind of like the charm that someone like Henry Cavill has, where like he generally gets why this is important to people. Like he gets it.
Oh yeah, and it's certainly odd because I hear like you know stories where like it's all don't play the original games, don't read the original source material, and you're thinking to yourself, why though?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, because the other day I found out that they were telling the actors for the Fallout TV show, they're saying, hey, so you know we're gonna base this game entirely in New Vegas, so go play Fallout New Vegas, get the feel of the game, and it's like okay, and that surprised me. It's like wow. Most of the time, you just tell them don't play anything at all.
Oh yeah. And it's I mean, even when it's not accurate, it still kind of holds to the spirit of it, which is all we ask for.
Yeah.
Like the Sonic movies are not the Sonic games,
I mean,
but they got the
yeah, I mean,
spirit.
like, I mean, yeah, Sonic's actually a great example because the comics has at least like the Archie comics. I don't know about the IDW lore,
Yeah.
but the Archie lore. Very different from the games because at least I think with IDW they now kind of have like a weird shared lore between the games in a way, but Archie it was completely different, its own canon, you know, continuity and all that kind of stuff and lore, but yeah, so but it shows that you know like the fans we can't accept like a different take on it, especially with the new movie where it treats Sonic as an alien instead of like being on Planet Morbius or anything like that.
What other game is there to talk about before we wrap this up?
Let's see.
Okay. Trying to think of another game. I think
See.
that's about it in terms of important ones. I mean, Yeah. we already mentioned the intergalactic one, but not too much for the trailer. It does look
No.
cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think besides that, I think that's about it. I think we got everything.
Yeah.
Like not maybe not everything, but like all the ones that really caught people's attention, our
Yeah.
attention mostly.
Like this one, I don't hear a lot of people talking, but it's kind of weird though too, because it's a circumstance. Do you remember that weird like CG trailer, like with a bunch of cats, you know, playing around?
I just saw a post about that. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
like it, how like it might be all AI generated.
yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was a bit of a controversy.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah,
Because
and they even looked deeper into the dev team as well, and they had a history of using AI.
I think the CEO of that company was involved with a lot of
NFTs.
NFT stuff,
NFTs.
right? Yeah, like he got himself into like NFTs as well. I don't know if he made any NFT games, but he was definitely like doing some NFT stuff.
It's gonna, I've said it before, it's gonna be a while before we can actually, for those things actually die. And it's also gonna be a while for people to really understand why those things need to die.
Yeah, so like that's a weird thing because I don't know like how it slipped by Jeff or whoever's in you know in charge of, you know looking out for these games to show off because like that's another big thing impacting because which you know I'll give Jeff Keighley credit, he actually finally acknowledges you know like the ongoing issues with the layoffs you know throughout the industry because we're almost like seeing it almost every other day, like we've seen it with Microsoft, we've seen it
Yeah.
with EA, Ubisoft.
Yes.
Ubisoft recently, yeah, because after the shut the announcement of shutting down X Defiant. But yeah, like another issue is like AI. So not only are actors or voice actors or artists are afraid of AI, but they're thinking about using AI to replace certain aspects of like game development as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, Jeff acknowledges this, yes. I think acknowledging is probably the first step. The best way to end there, he's not the end all be all onto that situation. We just want to be acknowledged. That's all really we want from him to do. And then the conversation how to fix that should come now that we have all acknowledged it.
Yeah, like I'm
When
willing to
it
give him
comes
a
to the AI
pass.
stuff, I feel like it almost gonna be a harder battle because a lot of people, and I know you, Daniel, you and I have had many a conversation about this. I know I've had many conversations with you about this. It's when it comes down to like AI, it really is trying to get people to understand why that's a problem and why like there needs to be laws set in place for this. Like if you talk about it with someone like who doesn't understand AI, they're gonna be like, hey, I don't see a problem. But if you talk to someone who works in that kind of area, they're like, oh man, AI is bad. So like it's a deeper conversation to have that we don't have the time for, sadly.
So all I'm gonna say is like I'll give Jeff the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't realize that it was AI until someone pointed it out to him, because it's the only game that was noticed by anybody that it might be an AI game. So
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where like again, that's kind of why I'm saying like the conversation needs to be had, right? And it's one that's going to be a lot more extensive because now things AI is kind of like harder to like.
yeah, like
Well,
there's
there's still
some
ways you can tell, yes, but like
yeah.
if you don't develop the eye for it, it's going to be a lot harder.
No, like there's some easy cases, like for example, Black Call of Duty got in trouble because fans noticed one of the loading screens. There's like a zombie Santa Claus on a loading screen, and he had six fingers on his hand. Like,
Wow. Ugh.
and then but there's some steps to take it forward with, like with Steam. They tell developers if any AI was used, you have to disclose it. So those are some small steps, but that's just one marketplace. Not everything can be can help. But yeah, so like AI is definitely an issue, but we'll save that for another episode.
But ending on good notes, we're all very I would probably say this is probably a bit better of a showcase this time. A lot more games being displayed out, newer games that we were actually excited for. Like I was surprised about that. And yeah, no, a lot of well-deserved like awards to well-deserved games. I know when we talked about Elden Ring. Oh, there's a new co-op Elden
Oh
Ring
my
game
God, yeah,
too.
like yeah, it's an online co-op Elden Ring game. So for those who doesn't play any Bloodborne games or Dark Souls or whatever, those what was that? Soulsborne games.
Yeah.
There is multiplayer in a sense, but not like co-op. You have to work around, maybe use a mod or something to get it actually working. But yeah, so this is the first actual official co-op game from software that where you could play with friends.
Nice. But no, like I said, like I know we've had issues about having something like Elden Ring be game of the year. And even if it did lose, at the end of the day, it still went to a game that was well deserving for it. Even if you feel like Astro Bot is kind of a weird game to give it to, it's you can understand why it's so well deserved. I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah, I
If you enjoyed
guess.
what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Centurions. And if you like what you heard, we are also on YouTube. Be sure to comment, like, subscribe. Be sure to follow us on any of the official podcasting sites we're part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora. And any form of support, just hit us up on Patreon. And yeah, it's been a funny three. I mean, I miss E3.
Like we all
It
do, man.
was a slip of the tongue, man. But no, thank you for checking us out for our thoughts on the Game Awards of this year. And we'll be back again next year because, as you know, we tend to end the year off with the Game Awards. And so we'll be back again next year with something new. Yeah, it's been me, your boy Eli.
Me, Joe. You guys have
It's
a good
Daniel. I'll call me $5 on Steam on Nintendo Switch right now. Please buy
one. Is
it.
it? You guys have a good one. Peace.